Ramacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vas Arigor Bhaktamunda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Samakun Radhakun Giri Gopinan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. Gaura Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Snigdha We're reading text 64. What's on the board? 64 on the board? Okay. Snigdha Smite Shitodarar Vakyer Vikrama Nilaya Nilokam Ramayam Asa Murtya Sarvanga Ramyaya Snigdha Smite Kshitodarar Vakyer Vikramalilaya Nilokam Ramayam Asa Murtya Sarvanga Ramyaya Snigdha Smite Kshitodarar Bhakyer Vikramalilaya Nilokam Ramayam Asa Murtya Sarvanga Ramyaya Yeah. Snigdha-smite-cito-dhalai Makhe-vikram-yayana Yilokam-yayana Both smita or snigdha, affectionate. Smita, smiling. Iksita, being regarded as. Udarai, magnanimous. Vakyai, instructions. Vikramalilaya, the pastimes of heroism. Nilokam, human society. Ramayam, asa, pleased. Murtya, by his personal form. Sarvangaramaya, the form that pleases everyone by all parts of the body. Translation and purport. Assisted by the descendants of Bhoja, Vrishni, Andaka, Madhu, Surasena, Darshara, Kuru, Srinjaya, and Pandu, Lord Krishna performed various activities. By his pleasing smiles, his affectionate behavior, his instructions, and his uncommon pastimes like raising Govardhan Hill, the Lord, appearing in his transcendental body, pleased all of human society. The words Nilokam, Ramayam, Asa, Murtya, Sarvangaram, Yaya are significant. Krishna is the original form, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is therefore described here by the word Murtya. The word Murti means form. Krishna or God is never impersonal. The impersonal feature is but a manifestation of his transcendental body. It's confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagat Anandakoti. The Lord is Narakriti, exactly resembling the form of a human being, but his form is different from ours. Therefore, the word Sarvanga Ramyaya informs us that every part of his body is pleasing for everyone to see. Apart from his smiling face, every part of his body, his hands, his legs, his chest, is pleasing to the devotees who cannot at any time stop seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. Snigdha smitte ksito dharai bhakya vikrama lilaya nilokam ramayam asa murtya sarvanga ramyaya. Om Agnate Manandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshusun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manu Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnamam Shcha Shri Rupam Sakachatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jugutpate Gopi Shagopi Kakanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Paditanam Pamanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nalokam Ramayan Asa Murtya Sarvangaram Yaya Srila Prabhupada mentions that these two lines are significant because the form of the Lord is mentioned. The form pleases everyone. Maybe we can repeat these lines again. Maybe we can commit them to our memory. Nalokam Ramayam Asa. Nalokam Ramayam Asa. Murtya Sarvanga Ramyaya. Murtya Sarvanga Ramyaya. I hear some sound. Do you hear the sound? Oh, it's a problem. Okay. So Krishna's smile is described here. And it's described in other places in the Bhagavatam. Sometimes the word ruchir is used. Ruchir Smita. Ruchir Smita means pleasing smile. These words, Ruchir Smita, are used by Mother Earth. She describes Krishna's pleasing smile when she's remembering Krishna in separation after Krishna leaves the world. She's feeling transcendental separation. And she's talking to Dharma. Mother Earth is in the form of a cow. And this cow is talking to Dharma, who's in the form of a bull. So she describes the pleasing smile of love. Krishna's pleasing smile of love. For his wife, or Satyabhama. Satyabhama, one of the wives, Krishna had so many wives, but Satyabhama, Mother Earth is talking about Satyabhama. And she says, Satyabhama had gravity. She was a grave lady. And also, Satyabhama exhibited a passionate anger, a passionate wrath. Wrath, anger, Satyabhama would show sometimes to Krishna some anger. And Mother Earth was saying, by the pleasing smile of love that Krishna exhibited, he was able to conquer the passionate anger and the gravity of Satyabhama. So, in the household affairs of Krishna, these were remembered by Mother Earth after Krishna left the world. And she described his pleasing smile, which conquered the anger of Satyabhama. Another word used to describe the smile of Krishna, this word was used by Lord Brahma, is Shishira, which means cool. Cool and pleasing. Lord Brahma said, Krishna has a cool, pleasing smile. So it has a cooling effect. The demigods, headed by Brahma, were often in trouble because in the material world, there's a lot of trouble. And so they go to the Lord, Supreme Lord, and they ask him, please appear as your incarnation. Be sympathetic toward us. Have some sympathy. And what kind of sympathy do they want from the Lord? They want him to free them from anxiety by a cool, pleasing smile and a glance filled with love. So they have this personal relationship. The Lord glances on the demigods with love, and his smile is cool and pleasing. And then another example of Krishna's pleasing smile is mentioned in connection with the princesses that became his wives. Krishna's smile and Krishna's beautiful face and his ears, even his ears are described as beautiful. Prabhupada said every part of Krishna's body is beautiful and the devotees want to see. So Krishna's wives were attracted by his lotus eyes, his beautiful face and ears, his pleasing smile, and his humorous talks. Krishna could amuse the wives by talking with sweet words and with humor. And the response of the wives to this attraction, these various attractive features of Krishna, their response to this attraction was that they all dressed attractively to attract Krishna. When the wife is attractively dressed, the husband is attracted. These are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, that Krishna would be pleased by seeing the attractively dressed Srimati Radharani or the gopis. And by being pleased, he would look even more attractive. And when he looked more attractive, the gopis were more attracted to Krishna. And that attraction made them look more pleasing to Krishna. And he became more attractive because they were pleased. And when Krishna became more attracted and felt more pleased, he became more attracted to the gopis, attractive to the gopis. So on and on and on, this attraction was going. Krishna's affectionate behavior is also mentioned. Snigdha. Snigdha means affectionate. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, we'll mention now another shastra. Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Have you read that, Rasaprana? Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Okay, I'll tell you something today about it. There's a discussion there led by Prahlad Maharaj. Someone is coming to Prahlad and saying, Krishna showed his mercy to you because he showed his affection to you. He actually caressed you in his arms. Prahlad was a little boy, so naturally, you know, you show affection to a child, you hold the child. And Prahlad discusses this affection. Throughout the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, various devotees of the Lord, famous devotees of the Lord, are singled out as recipients of the Lord's mercy. And in each case, the devotee says, no, I didn't receive the mercy. And he explains why. But if you want to know who received the mercy, I say that, and he names another devotee who got the mercy. And then that devotee is considered next as a recipient. So Prahlad says that, you're saying that I got the mercy because the Lord caressed me. He showed some affection. He was snigdha. 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 He was affectionate. But some people consider such affection to be just a false show of Maya. The Shankarites, they say these loving dealings of the Lord, they're illusory. They're a display of Maya. Because the Lord cannot be involved in duality. Love and affection is the opposite of hate. So it's just a duality of the material energy. When Krishna appears and shows affection, it's the illusory energy, that's all. Maya. That's what the Advaitins say. They say that the Supreme is untouched by duality. The Supreme is impersonal. And But the Vaishnavas say this is the highest reality, to see the affection that Krishna shows to his devotees. The Supreme Brahman is eternal, but Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Krishna has more qualities than the impersonal Brahman. Satchit Ananda. Brahman is just Sat, eternal. So Satchit Ananda, Krishna, he displays various activities. There's a variety of activities, Vishesha. And these activities are also Satchit Ananda. They're the highest reality, the highest truth. So Prahlad says Krishna's affection is not illusory like the Shankarites say. Krishna's affection is real. But he acts in this way for his own enjoyment. When he comes to the world, he enacts pastimes to enjoy with his devotees. So Krishna enacts the pastime of pretending to care for me. It's actually not for me, it's not that he's showing me mercy, but it's just his pastime to be affectionate. So Lord Nrisimhadev pretended to care for me. But his affection for me was short-lived. It didn't last a long time. He just caressed me for a short time. So in that sense, it was just like a dream. A dream doesn't last very long. A dream lasts a short time during the night. So this is not any evidence that the Lord was particularly merciful to me. These are Prahlad's reasons. This is not evidence that the Lord was merciful to me, that he caressed me. It didn't last very long. And it's something he does when he performs his pastimes. Just like a fire. Fire is burning. If there's a fire in the house or on the street, the fire is giving warmth and giving heat to everyone. Everyone gets relief from the cold air by the fire. So it wasn't particularly meant for me. This is just how the Lord acts in his pastimes. Then Prahlad tries to establish who Krishna really showed the mercy to. So he says, the Lord really shows his mercy when devotees get an opportunity to render service to him. Hanuman was such a devotee. Here, Hanuman is here with us in the temple. Hanuman is with Lord Ram and Sita and Lakshman. That's a devotee, Hanuman, because he got to render service. The Lord asked him for service. This is how the Lord really shows his mercy, not like in my case, by just showing some affection. And what's next in this verse after the activities are mentioned? Affectionate activities. The next thing is the instructions. The instructions are the instructions of the Lord pleased everybody in human society. Again, the theme of this verse is Nilokam Ramayan Asamurtya Sarvangaramya Nilokam Ramayam Asam Murtisa Vangaramyaya. Nilokam Ramayam Asam Murtisa Vangaramyaya. Can you say it by heart? Say it by heart. Nilokam Ramayam Asamurtya Sarvanga. So all the parts of the Lord's body, and also that includes his instructions. Vakyai. Vakyai means instructions or words. Queen Kunti appreciated Krishna's words. She says, Krishna's words will console me and my fatherless sons. My sons have no father. So Krishna, the supreme male, he's like the father of everyone. So his words console my fatherless sons. They console me. When Kunti was in distress, she said, I'm like a female deer. What's the word for female deer? Doe. And sometimes a doe is surrounded by wolves. The wolves want to kill the deer. So Kunti was feeling like that in Hastinapur before the battle, the war. The battle of Kurukshetra. And she was remembering how Krishna's words are so consoling. Vakya, Krishna's Vakya. Consoling to her and her sons. But sometimes Krishna's words aren't consoling. Krishna's words were not consoling to Srimati Rukmini. When Krishna spoke to Rukmini, she was not consoled. She got shook up. Krishna's words shook her up. She was shaken by Krishna's words. What's Krishna saying? She became so disturbed. Krishna's saying that he's not a suitable husband for me. I should find another husband. She just became so disturbed by these words of Krishna. She fainted. And then she was revived. Gradually, Rukmini was revived, and it was shown that her mind could not be pulled away from Krishna. Krishna was suggesting, you should fix your mind on some other husband. But she couldn't. The very thought made her faint, so this was a demonstration of her devotion to Krishna. Some of the characteristics of Krishna's words are pavitra. Pavitra means purifying. His words are purifying. Another characteristic is art. Art. What's artha? Yes, purpose. Krishna's words have a purpose. There's a deep purpose. Krishna's words are also truthful and pleasing. And not only Krishna's words, but the words of his friends, the words of his associates. There's a mention in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Gopa, Gopa Vakyai. That means the words of the cowherd boys. Sometimes the Lord acts through his devotees or reveals something through the words of his devotees. So the Gopavakya, the words of the cowherd boys, Krishna spoke through the words of the cowherd boys. They were just simple boys But they conveyed Krishna's message to the Brahmins who were performing sacrifice. They reminded the Brahmins of the ultimate transcendental goal of life. What did the cowherd boys say? What were their words? O Brahmins, please give us some food for Krishna. Our friend Krishna and his brother Balaram are hungry. We're begging you, feed us. Give us some of the food, some of the remnants of the food in the sacrifice. But the Brahmins, this pastime was meant to show the Brahmins were foolish Brahmins. They were ignorant of the transcendental goal of feeding Krishna. So this pastime established that the wives of the Brahmins, they were Krishna's devotees. They were attracted to his beauty, to his transcendental beauty. They were in this category of persons who were pleased, human society pleased by the affection, the smiling, the instructions. Krishna's transcendental body, his uncommon pastimes, all of these things please the human society. Nilokam ramayam asam murtya sarvanga ramyaya. So uncommon activities are the last thing to be mentioned. Krishna's appearance is uncommon, his activities are uncommon, and his departure is uncommon. When Krishna left the world, he annihilated the dynasty that he was part of. So this was uncommon. All the associates of Krishna annihilated one another. That was mysterious. That's something that's not so easy to understand. How could all of Krishna's associates in all these dynasties annihilate one another? All the dynasties are mentioned here. Bhoja, Vrishni, Andaka, Madhu, Surasena, Dasara, Pandu. How is that wonderful? How is that something wonderful in the Lord's pastimes? So the Lord was talking to Uddhava about this. Uddhava is the great devotee of Krishna. And he dispatched Uddhava. He sent Uddhava to Bhadrik Ashram. He said, I want you to carry the message about my departure, my disappearance, to Narnarayan and other pure devotees in Bhadrik Ashram. So people who are devotees, they're talking about Krishna's uncommon activities and his disappearance is uncommon. These are things that are not perceivable by the senses, our material senses. Srila Prabhupada mentioned yesterday in the talk, two days ago in the lecture that Prabhupada was giving on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said the Acharya teaches what's not perceivable by the senses. And what was the example he used? he said that it's not perceivable by the senses what happens to the life in the body at the time of death. People don't understand what happens to the person who leaves the body. That's not perceivable by the senses. But it's perceivable by the teachings of Krishna. And the acharyas are communicating to people the teachings of Krishna. What is going on? Dehinosmin yatadehe komaram yovanam jara tatadehantara praptir diris tatra numuyati. So similarly, Krishna's pastimes fit in to this category of not understandable by the material senses and mind. But they can be understood, Krishna's pastimes, and his form and activities can be understood if they're explained by the acharyas. Then you can perceive what's going on. Ordinary people can perceive and understand uncommon pastimes, like lifting of Govardhan Hill. Achyuta. Lifting of Govardhan Hill is mentioned in today's translation. So materialistic persons, if you talk to materialistic persons and you say, can you lift a hill? Can you do something wonderful like lifting a hill? Materialistic persons like to appear. They are happy to appear as wonderful persons. Everybody who's materialistic tries to appear like some uncommon person. You know, they try so many things to enhance their prestige, to appear powerful, to appear learned, to appear wealthy, to appear beautiful. But if you just ask them to do something wonderful like lifting a hill, can you lift a hill? Nope, can't. But Krishna can. So this pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, it goes beyond the speculative power of a materialistic person. A person may speculate about what God can do, but they'll never come up with the idea that God can lift Govardhan Hill. So Krishna comes and shows them that he can lift Govardhan Hill. And it can be perceived by ordinary people. It's commemorated, it's remembered, it's such a famous pastime. Nobody can do it except Krishna. So it's portrayed in art, in paintings, in dance, in song. Giridhari is a famous name of Krishna. People go to Govardhan now. Many thousands, millions of people go to Govardhan because Krishna performed this uncommon pastime. So, nilokam ramayan asa murtya sarvangaramyaya. Krishna's form performed these pastimes. Krishna didn't do it impersonally. He didn't impersonally lift Govardhan Hill. Personally, he lifted it. So, murtya, with that murtya, murti, murta sarvanga. All the parts of Krishna's form, they're ramyaya, attractive and pleasing to nilokam. Nilokam ramayan asa murtya sarvanga. Ramyaya. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Speak slow and loud.
Hey, yes, Prabhuji.
Slow and loud.
So, you are mentioning that Krishna's activity is the form, the leelas, which is inconceivable to our senses, becomes conceivable when through the acharyas. So how that can be happen? So it is initially inconceivable, and how we can conceive with the same material senses? So what happens in that situation?
When we are unable to perceive or understand Krishna's wonderful activities, it's because we don't engage our senses in Krishna's service. But as soon as we start engaging our senses, our hearing, our speaking, all of our senses, according to the instructions of these spiritual masters, then our material senses become purified. And the Lord of the senses, actually, our senses are not under our control or not ours. There's a Lord of the senses. We're just in this temporary body. We don't have an eternal claim to our senses. But the Lord gives us these senses. So he's the Lord of the senses. Rishikesh, Rishikena, Seva, Nam Bhaktir. When we render service to the Lord with a pleasing attitude, trying to please the Lord, then he'll let us understand him. We can't do it on our own, but when he's pleased by his mercy, then we can understand. And he's pleased if we make the attempt. So he'll reveal himself. And our material senses are transcended when we follow the process, and we can then see on the transcendental platform. We get to see something beyond our material capability. I think you already knew the answer, but anyway, it's good to talk about it again. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Here the wonderful description is there that the form of the Lord is Sarvanga Ramyaya. It is very pleasing. I was just thinking of a shloka in Bhagavatam. It is said, Mad Bhayat Vati Vatoyam Suryas Tapati Mad Bhayat. Kapildev says that by my fear, the wind blows. By my fear, the death is acting in this world. All the demigods are acting by my fear.
Can you repeat those three things?
So Kapildev says in the third canto that Mat bhayat vati vatoyam, by my fear the wind blows.
The wind blows out of fear.
Suryas tapati mat bhayat, the sun shines out of my fear. Varshat indro dahati agni mrityuscharati mat bhayat. So all the demigods are acting out of my fear. So just wanted to, out of curiosity, just like the pleasing form of the Lord is creating fear in the hearts of demigods. They are acting out of fear. Like, just want to know, what is that type of fear?
This question just came up in a class that I gave in Switzerland last week. And we looked in the Oxford English Dictionary for some definitions of fear. We excluded the meaning of fear that means like someone is like pointing a gun at you and is about to kill you with a gun. You're very much afraid if someone is about to kill you. So it's not that kind of fear. Krishna doesn't generate that kind of fear in the hearts of his devotees who are the demigods. It's a different kind of fear. So the Oxford English Dictionary talks about other meanings of the word fear. And there are some meanings that are specifically related to fear of God. The word fear of God is in English. The words fear of God. There's a saying that wisdom begins with fear of God. Wisdom begins with fear of God. So what is that fear of God? That God should be respected, that He's the most powerful, that He's the supreme controller. I'm not the supreme controller. We have to get the idea out of our minds that I'm the supreme controller. I'm the Lord. So fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. One has to learn about God and God's laws. That's a duty of human society. Now, duty means that I'm serving a master. And the demigods are also serving Master Krishna. They're performing their functions for the pleasure of the Lord. So they have fear of God in the sense that I must not be disrespectful. I must please my master. It would be foolish not to. So it's a healthy kind of fear. It's not a fear that makes them dysfunctional. It's a fear that allows them to function in the right way in relationship to their duties and to the rest of society. They're parts of the whole. The demigods understand. I'm a part of the Lord's, like a limb of the Lord, a part of the Lord's system. I'm meant to help the Lord. So, of course, they cannot understand everything about the Lord that's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. In 10th chapter, verse 2. Name vidu suraganai prabhavam na maharshaya aham adir hi devanam maharshinam chasarvasha. Krishna says, neither the demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences. For in every respect, I'm the source of the demigods and sages. So sometimes the demigods and sages try to understand Krishna, but they don't always understand everything. They cannot understand everything. So he appears in the world before them. He appears before them to show the demigods, here I am, I'm the personality of Godhead. This is how I appear, this is how my appearance, how I look. You don't have to imagine what I look like. Sometimes people think of God as the great ruler, Prabhupada says. The conception of God as some ruling power can be reached by persons who are in the inferior energy of the Lord, who are in the material world. But the personality of Godhead cannot be conceived unless one is in the transcendental energy, in the transcendental position. So the demigods, they take part in Krishna's pastimes. All these dynasties that are mentioned in today's verse, the Bhojas, Andakas, Darshas, members of these dynasties, many of these are demigods who took birth in the dynasties to take part in Krishna's pastimes. Hare Krishna. Let's stop there. Thank you for your questions. And Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.